Hi there, welcome to the Institute of Wellbeing. Thank you for joining this podcast, and I'd like to introduce you to this new series called Developing Brilliant People.
The first podcast is a four-part series with Simon Woolley, the founder of Operation Black Vote and also the chair of the Race Disparity Unit. We are going to tackle some serious issues in these conversations.
And this podcast is called How to Raise Community, Political and Wellbeing Champions.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I also have in the studio with me today Reverend David Shishania, one of the most prolific thinkers in London. And today our main focus is with Sir Simon to figure out what his thoughts are, what his plans are with regards to levelling the playing field and helping the black community absolutely rise up.
Right.
And we're also working with churches to create wellbeing champions where the leaders or the pastors select an individual who they believe could be useful with engaging with parents for the children under age of five. So there is some research out there which shows that children from a disadvantaged community, many of which are BAME, as you know, hear 30 million words less than children from affluent communities. Mm. And the challenge is that word gap does not shrink as the child grows older.
Right.
So at the age of five, hearing 30 million words as a collective, it actually transfers with that child to the age of 11, to the age of 16.
Yeah.
So five is the predictor for 11. And it goes on and it predicts through life. So that child will never be the barrister, the doctor, or the surgeon.
Or at least struggle.
Yeah, exactly.
To be.
And
because the catch-up is so great.
Exactly. And then even if the potential's within that child, there's this psychological barrier that they...
Not for them.
Exactly. Mm. So there's this, you know, this reticence and this, you know, relinquishing of possibility. So, David, are you able to comment on how the church could really get involved with some of the things that Simon said with regards to being a creative hub, a place where there is that collective leadership that parents can engage with and the wellbeing champions and so on? Do you think there's a space for the church to really get involved here?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I must say that I've known Simon to articulate this vision for many years and to work tirelessly to engage church leaders, particularly in London, but I know right across the country, facilitated meetings with Al Sharpton and with Jesse Jackson and many other people, Voice newspaper, all sorts of stuff. So I think that there's been a long-standing backward trajectory in terms of the work that Simon's talking about. It's not something new. So I commend him and OBV for doing that. I think there's a couple of challenges that I see. The first one that I see is that there's a challenge of political literacy. People like OBV and other activists within our community, some of which people would agree with or not, they tend to be a bit more politically literate than church leaders. That doesn't mean church leaders are illiterate politically, but I think there is a gap there.
Yes.
And that gap needs to be shorter but lessened so that churches can engage far more constructively, particularly with structures. Simon made a very interesting point earlier about the dysfunctionality of the home and the structural exclusion, that twin, that kind of pincer movement that marginalizes young people and children. I think that's a very powerful point. I'd love to hear a bit more about that later if possible. But I think that there is something about churches developing that political literacy. There is some work going on, but it's not joined up work. And I think that work needs to be joined up. And I think when it becomes joined up, your resources can be deployed far more effectively,
sure,
both in terms of people, places, and also finances. I think people can move across sectors or across buildings to work. I think also when it comes to the church making a big difference in those communities, it's something that may not be said, but there is often a contest because there's a limited space and there's limited resources.
Yeah.
And the money can go to a church to do something, or it can go to other black activist organizations to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And insofar as those two networks or those two constituencies, if there's not a coherent vision between the two and the collaboration, then actually it becomes a contest of resources.
Right.
And when it becomes a contest of resources, people then tend not to be able to collaborate.
And often we're fighting over crumbs.
Yes, yes, I agree.
In many respects. And yeah, missing, as my brother David said, the huge potential. Imagine this for a second, a church hub, community hub, a non-party political hub to understand political literacy, where power lies, how it works, how it can be influenced. Understanding power in that hub, number one. Number two, a homework hub for our kids. It's really interesting you say about the right environment gives that deluge of words to young kids. If it doesn't happen, then it's difficult for them. I remember when my son was seven, might have been six or seven, he said to my neighbor, "I better get home quick, otherwise my dad will be incandescent with rage." Incandescent with rage. My neighbor said, "What does that mean?" And my son turned around and said, "Super furious." So he not only, I spoke to him like I speak to you.
Yes.
But he just absorbed it.
Absolutely.
It wasn't afraid of it. And as you said, if they're not, then these words then become a barrier.
Yes.
Because they feel less than. It's a homework hub. Here's the other one too. A financial hub that you tell people about debt, about avoiding debt, about embracing debt.
Managing it.
You know, that a great debt, a good debt, is getting a mortgage.
Yes.
A credit card is a bad debt.
Absolutely.
Although it might not be a bad debt. I mean, you know, some people are smart enough. When you've got a good credit rating, you can get a bank credit transfer and have debt-free for 36 months. But, you know, we need to know the knowledge of that. So the fourth and final pillar for that hub is the well-being hub.
Mm-hmm.
We're a bit older now, all three of us here,
mm.
but I wish someone had told me before and the benefits of yoga, the benefits of breathing. As leaders, we have to zoom out and say, here are the challenges. What can we do in those big moments to begin to turn back the growing inequality?
Mm.
And if those leaders come around the table and said, look, we're going to have these hubs, some people are going to do this, some people are going to do that, we take a 360 bird's eye view,
sure,
we can begin to address some of them. So it's the challenge is sometimes arresting. But on the flip side, and I think this is where we come from, we wake up positive, we wake up empowered.
Absolutely.
Thinking, oh my gosh, I can give something back.
Yes.
I can change big things.
Yes.
Now, for me as an activist, yes, like my brother David,
yes,
is that for a lot of the time, I've been doing this on the ground floor,
yes,
often swinging, often punching,
yes,
metaphorically.
Yes.
Now I've been able to do this at the very, very highest level.
Good.
On a ministerial level, on a down the street level. And here's the thing. This is the thing that has always amazed me, is that often we view ourselves as not nearly good enough. And yet when we start believing in ourselves and we're around these tables, we find ourselves being at the front of the curve with ideas.
Absolutely.
That take us from A to B,
yes,
to Z. But we've got to start seeing ourselves as critical, to the answers.
Critical piece. I agree with you. I think sometimes we should have that mentality that when we turn up, things change.
Right.
Because they're expecting something brilliant from us. As you said, there's that psychological narrative that we have in our own minds which says we're not good enough. And it becomes painful. And sometimes that energy is transferred. People read it and observe that, oh, he's struggling. Let's nail him.
It's interesting when you say, when we turn up, things change.
Yes.
And I think we've got to have much more of that positiveness.
Absolutely.
We have a good backstory.
Absolutely.
We have often the moral majority.
Absolutely.
On what we're doing. We've just got to be in the right places to do it. And when we do it, I've known this brother for a long time, and he doesn't, you know, you start something, you finish it.
Yes.
It's not here today, gone tomorrow. No. And we've got to start taking ownership and credit for what we bring to the table.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's interesting because I'm just thinking about the twin point you made about dysfunctionality in the home and systemic exclusion. And I was thinking, Mike, again, when he said, when we turn up, things change. And I was thinking, we have to turn up in two ways. We have to be present, and then when we're present, we have to be vocal.
Right.
And I think that's something that's quite important. But I was also thinking about the home learning environment, that parents have to turn up.
Absolutely.
And that the only way, actually, we're going to see any significant shift in terms of the improved educational attainments of our children is if parents turn up in the home, is if parents engage within the home.
Yeah.
And if they spend time chatting, spend time playing, spend time reading. And I think sometimes when parents are stressed, the whole idea of playing doesn't feature, but that's where
Dr. Mike's thing
absolutely
comes in.
Absolutely.
Because if your head stress, actually, even when you have downtime, you can't think about doing anything else because you're just recovering from the stress.
Absolutely.
We're in Bethnal Green. And around the corner is the Buddhist center. Now, I'm not a Buddhist, but we can cherry pick of those elements that would help us be better parents, better human beings, better brothers and sisters, husbands. And when I go to yoga, they help you do yoga. So not just for stretching and your back pain. The big thing is to be in a physical place to help the mental space.
Absolutely.
And so imagine for a second, a stressed mum and dad come home and they sit in a quiet place for 15 minutes to de-stress, to relax. 15 minutes. And then when they interact with their kids, they're actually listening. David, you spoke about turning up. It's more than turning up. Is turning up, being present, and doing. Even when sometimes those that are present are not actually fully present because their mind's elsewhere.
Yes.
Who's teaching our parents
to be that mindful?
Mindful.
Yes. And, you know, it's a very interesting subject. We've got about five more minutes, and I want to cram something key in here. I've noticed, Simon, you mentioned giving your son words,
right,
and he was able to use them with his peers. When David talked about turning up and, as you mentioned, being present as a parent, as black men, many of us do not read with our children. We somehow leave it as an assumption that the school's going to do that,
right.
And many times it's the women. There is this glamorization that I think is sweeping London around black men and money and wealth and fancy cars and the latest garments and jewellery. And it's a contradiction to what you've said, where you started at grassroots and you grew. There's this almost suspended elevation concept that I can get to the top without
the
climbing,
the journey.
And I look good and I smell good, sure. And I've got the girls and whatever else, but I'm not turned up with my children. Gentlemen, we are running right out of time, and I would like to just ask Sir Simon to just give us a bit more of an engagement process. How do we get involved with OBV? Right. Why should we vote?
No, I mean, look, our mantra has always been that we need power. We need power to ensure we get equality, equality of opportunity, that we get respect. We never use power to dominate anybody else.
Yes.
It's just to fight for equality. The second point is we need to understand is that power is never given. And we just think that if we do the right thing, it's enough. It isn't, not nearly enough. Because we still have a structure that too often sees our people as less than. So we need to understand this is the system. We need to understand what we need to do. That our website is there. That there will be an election anytime soon. If we want opportunities for our kids, if we want to be respected, if we want jobs for ourselves, that they need to be put on notice that we have political power. Political power, by the way, that costs us nothing. But when you have it, you can start making demands. And when you make the demands that you have the lever to decide whether they're in power or not, it can translate to policy. So David spoke about political literacy, and we mustn't go down the path of the USA where political illiteracy, dark, demonic ideas
break.
When you have political illiteracy, then I saw the shootings in the USA, etc. That's political illiteracy. So we need to be smart, we need to be active. And if people go on to Operation Black Vote, just Google Operation Black Vote, you'll see how we can get registered to vote, how we can have this collective leadership, both at a community level, at a political level, and a family level. And I very much want to, David always knows I want to work with the black churches.
Yes.
I think the black churches have always been a political giant that needs fully awakening.
Yes.
And I like your idea of this well-being agenda from a black perspective.
Thank you so much, Simon. And Reverend David, if you could just give us your views on how we could potentially move forward. Simon has just mentioned working potentially in collaboration with the churches and with a well-being agenda. What do you see as the turnkey next step?
I think everything is predicated on relationships, and I think we've got to be intentional in building those relationships. But I think specifically, and I said this recently to Simon in a telephone conversation, actually it's not just about the relationships, it's about respecting the unique talents that individuals bring in that relationship. So OBV are exceptionally skilled at engaging with systems and structures and politicians and so on. And so the relationship with the church is not to give up power, but to fall in line, to be in alignment. And then the church, once OBV does the engagement, the church and other faith communities can offer a narrative around what is politically and morally imperative for politicians.
Yes. It's a golden thread.
Yes.
Yeah. A golden thread. David's articulating a golden thread that is sown between the various elements of our community to ensure that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I thoroughly enjoyed this interview, and you know, I'm wishing you the very, very best, Sir Simon.
Thanks.
Woolley.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Thank you.
And Sir David.
Thank you.
Soon to be.
Well, there you have it. Although that interview with Simon was done in the spirit of conviviality, it's important to remember the messaging. Firstly, let's not forget political literacy, how important that actually is. To get out and vote, to become a community champion, and also to become a well-being champion. If you would like further information, please do visit us at www.tiow.org. If you want to become a champion, just put in the / after .org and put in the word champion. The Instagram handle is The Institute of Wellbeing. I would love you to also connect with us on Twitter and Facebook with the handle @iWellbeing.